morning, everyone. This is your favorite podcast in the world. This is the best podcast in the world. This is the Strength and Skills Podcast. This is your host, Nick Tibuzek, and with me is my co-host and my interview partner, Rado the Boss Bossage. All right, as you already heard, Rado is going to be my interview partner today because I would like you to get to know him a little bit better so that you know who the fuck you are listening to. And today we're going to hear a little story from a guy who is originally from Croatia. And are you from a city or is it a village? Where are you from?
I'm actually from a village in Croatia, which is near a city, which isn't also big. It's like 30,000 people living in the city. So yeah, it's quite of a small surrounding there.
Right. But you started training pretty early, didn't you?
Yeah, that was round about, I think it's already 6 years. I think it's 2015. I was 15 years old then, I think. Okay, I started like everyone, like with this classic bodybuilding thing. You know, I bought two dumbbells and at home I was just doing chest and arm workouts and nothing else. And then one day I tried to do a pull-up and I realized how weak I actually am. And that really struck me and I wanted to get stronger. So I started implementing some back workouts. And that's also the time when calisthenics started to get really big. I know especially the scene in Germany was in 2015. I remember the FIBO competitions and everything. I was watching that. And I know it sounds funny, but I was really amazed by all the dynamic moves they did. I started doing calisthenics then. I found a park nearby and yeah. Went there with my friends and decided to train.
That's crazy. What was it, the first touch of you with any sport, or did you do anything in the when you were a kid or something?
I did karate for 10 years. I think that's also really important because it affected pretty much everything else when I train. I think body awareness and also having a good base of movement. That really helped me. And I also did like 3 or 4 years of basketball, but that was nothing serious.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right.
Karate was a much, much bigger influence.
So when you started training 2015, I think I remember that you also did some Olympic weightlifting. When did that start?
Yeah. It started when I met my friend in the park, who was my first mentor. So shout out to him if he's listening. He basically introduced me to one of his friends who was doing Olympic weightlifting. And at that time, this mix of gymnastics and Olympic weightlifting was also getting more popular because there was Little Beast and also Ranjit and all the guys from the calisthenics scene were starting to promote leg training, you know.
Yeah.
So we hang out with that guy and he basically was letting us in to that Olympic weightlifting gym. And the only reason we went there was to train legs, you know. What you had to do in return was go to competitions. So I would do Olympic weightlifting training only to train legs there. That's kind of a background story there. That was 2016. That was 1 year afterwards. And that was really nothing serious, you know. It was like 1 year of Olympic weightlifting training and my technique wasn't proficient or anything and I wasn't super strong, but
yeah,
it was definitely an important experience for me because, yeah, it introduced me to this leg training, you know.
Yeah. And of course, probably a little bit more structure in your training.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you had to then think about, all right, how I'm going to do upper body workouts and lower body workouts. I'm going to mix this calisthenics thing with the Olympic weightlifting, you know. You had to tackle it a little bit.
Yeah. Was it also the first contact of you with some mobility stuff?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Because as I said, all these guys were also promoting some mobility training, and I also started doing that. And there was also the notion, you know, for bodyweight skills, you have to have a certain amount of mobility because it makes it easier for you. So if you have a good pancake, a straddle planche or a pull would be easier for you, you know? So that's also one of the reasons why I started doing mobility training.
Oh, that's well, that's good.
Yeah, but also, I mean, for Olympic weightlifting, you do need quite of a mobility base in order to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that was the first contact. And then you educated yourself a lot in that topic?
Yeah, sure. I mean, my first book that I read on training in general was Overcoming Gravity. And it's not that it's a bad book. It's definitely a good one. And it brought me forward in terms of knowledge. And it was also an important piece in my development, for sure. Because I started doing programs, I tried to tackle things and see what works or not. So that's also one of the first steps in me actually writing programs.
So usually when I hear people are from Croatia or somewhere Eastern Europe, I would say, usually these people are always very much into this street workout community. Have you been part of that?
In my home city, people tried to develop a community. And especially at the start, when I started training, that was the time when it shined the most. I also did my first competition 3 months into my training, which was kind of a fun experience. But afterwards, basically nothing happened. And it was just like two or three of us that were doing the sport and nobody else. But I think it's also our fault, partly because we actually didn't try to promote it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was a kid, you know, I was 15 years old. What did I know?
Yeah, of course. That's classic. Okay. Then you did your, all right. You started training by having some dumbbells, and then you added up some back workouts. Then you jumped into this Olympic weightlifting stuff.
Yeah.
How did you evolve from there?
Yeah, basically from there, I don't know what happened to me, but I was really interested in acquiring all the possible bodyweight skills out there. So I started doing a lot of like one-arm chin-up training, front lever training, straddle press training, handstand training, you know, and completely neglected the legs. And my programming back then was probably really poor because I didn't quite progress. And also a lot of stuff outside of training was happening with school. So I didn't really make a lot of progress then.
Yeah.
I also neglected basics, which is a really big mistake for me. And that cost me like a year of training. You know, I did progress a little bit, but I would have definitely progressed more if I knew what I did. You know?
Yeah.
So, after the Olympic weightlifting training, kind of a skill phase came in, you know, where I tried to master the bodyweight skills that I have. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. But you completely neglected all the basics? No classic.
I did have weighted chin ups and weighted dips sometimes, but that was really low volume. And when I look at because I was writing down training programs, and now when I look at it, it's a really big facepalm. It was really low volume, and you couldn't expect to progress in that, you know?
That's interesting. All right. What happened then? What was going on?
After that, I realized that basics are important, and you have to drill them, and it doesn't make any sense for you to train the one option up if you can't do 15 proper pull-ups, you know, that, I mean, it came really late, but yeah, I completely switched up my training, and I started doing a lot more basics, and that's also when I started to progress more. You know, I was doing a lot more volume on pull-ups, dips, push-ups, and all the other good stuff, and I also had, because of this basic thing, I also had a barbarian space, where I would train really high rep, do these routines like one muscle up, 10 dips, 5 pull-ups, and then doing that for sets. You know, I was really struck with that. And I also wanted to become a barbarian. Also the weighted calisthenics scene was roaring at the time.
Yeah.
And that's what I found even more interesting. And then I jumped on that train. So a lot of jumping from one thing to another in my journey, which I don't regret. I think that all of those things are valuable experiences, you know, because they brought me where I am today.
Yeah. You had to find your passion.
I had to find it, you know. So you can't know what you enjoy doing if you don't try out many things. You have to experiment, you know.
Absolutely. I like that. That's cool. What was the time then? 2017, 2018?
No, I think that was 2019. No, 2018. And then in the middle of 2018, I started doing a lot more weighted calisthenics.
Yeah.
And I also started like introducing back squats a little bit and leg training because it's a discipline, weighted calisthenics. And then, yeah, in 2019, that's the year when I joined bodybuilding, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's all of the stuff that led to that.
All right. What happened when you joined bodybuilding coaching?
Yeah, progress happened, you know, finally. I mean, I was like 4 or 5 years already into my, no, 4 years into my training, and I didn't think that I could make any more progress. I thought that, you know, after 2 years, you're already like, that's it. And after 4 years, you're already an advanced lifter, and what you got out of yourself, that's it. You can't get any more. But when you apply proper programming and everything else, it's wonders can happen, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm basically struck on this weighted calisthenics thing mixed with this hybrid training for almost 2 years already.
Yeah.
And we're making some great progress, you know? If somebody had said to me, like, 3 years ago, you would do 220 kg deadlifts for reps four, you would squat 200 for reps, I would laugh. I wouldn't believe that.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't believe that.
That's crazy. All right. So at the same time, you came from Croatia to Germany to study sports.
Yeah, exactly. So almost 3 years already living in Germany, studying.
Yeah.
Mm.
You're finishing your bachelor right now?
Yeah. I'm in my last semester right now.
That's good. All right. So, and you evolved from an athlete at barbell coaching into being a coach at barbell coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And you're definitely, I have to say that from my side, one of the, I think, definitely stars that are upcoming in that coaching community. That's why we have you.
Thank you.
I have to say that definitely. So what was your maybe most important thing that you did in training that really changed? Maybe just an experience, not this, yeah, joined barbell coaching and I just really, really made so much progress. Maybe there was a special thing that you did during a training and you really experienced something that really changed up some views of yourself, maybe. So, what is there a special story? Because I do have some of these stories where I would say that really changed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I think that it was really early at the start with barbell coaching when I think you did a post how people actually underestimate themselves in training a lot. And then I try to like think of it and see how that applies to myself. And it was really true, you know. When I was looking at my reps, I was like, right, you have like 10 more reps in reserve. Why did you stop your set? Why, you know? And then the following training sessions, I tried to apply the things you said in the post and try to really push myself and really hit that RPE 8, you know? And then you can't believe it. You make progress, you know? Because you are sticking to the intensities that are prescribed, your training card, you're giving the stimulus and the body's growing and adapting. It's, yeah. You know, it's great. And I think that was the biggest change. Like, you have to train hard. And realizing that for me was really important, because I was really always like leaving a lot of stuff in tank, a lot of energy in tank.
Yeah.
And also like when I came in barbell coaching, and I was doing like 90 kg Romanians back then. And then you have these girls in the coaching group who are repping out 120 kg. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You know, are you even trying? And that's which, you know, that there are people out there that are girls out there that are repping out RDLs that are much, much higher than what I do. Gave me this realization that I am underestimating myself, and that I simply have to push harder, you know, because I was in this bubble with my friends where 100 kg Romanian deadlifts were awesome. But I came into this completely different bubble where people were immensely strong, and that was really, really important.
You know? That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was a shock. It was a shock to see that, you know. Because was like wrapping out 50 kg dumbbell Romanian deadlifts, and I was like, dude, what the hell? You know?
Yeah,
I'm there dying with 26 kg. I don't know. It was crazy. Yeah.
It's so crazy what the bubble does to your mind once you join a different bubble.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Completely crazy. I remember a good time back in the days. I don't know, you know Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dave goes beast mode.
Yeah.
And I can.
I
remember back in the days when he did his first God set, and that completely smashed me. He just went there and did 100 reps on the bar without leaving the bar. And I thought, okay, I've seen that by Zef from Barbarians. And I thought, okay, that's Zef. He doesn't count. And then he comes there and does that. And for the listeners, check out Heavy Artillery, the YouTube channel, and check out the God sets of Dave. That's gonna make you cry. but the point was, joining a different bubble was, and he was a close friend to me, but he just did that shit. I mean, he always did crazy shit, but once you have people joining you and destroying the bubble that you had by building a new one, you just see, okay, that's humanly possible. I got to step up my game. That's an amazing story. That's so cool. What would you say when you everybody does these extremely hard workout with his friends?
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite one you ever had?
Yeah, I already mentioned my mentor, and I'm really sad that we didn't train more after that one period. So I met him like 3 or 4 months into my training. So really early when I was doing street workout, and his trainings were like crazy, especially for me back at the time. Like one muscle up for me that life was amazing. You know? But he was really doing these hard endurance workouts, and he had this one workout called maintenance. And it's basically 5 pull-ups, 10 dips. 400 sets, you know, and dude was doing that every second day, sometimes even weighted. So 500 pull-ups and 1,000 dips in a workout. And me being a beginner and knowing nothing, I did my best to join him. So I was doing like 3 pull-ups and 5 dips, and then over time building that up. And these workouts are, I think, one of the most important experiences for me in training, because it really taught me this mental resilience and to really push the body when you think you can't do anything more. Because, you know, like you do 50 sets and then you think to yourself, all right, I have to do 50 more. I'm just halfway through. And it's so, I mean, it kills you. That thought kills you, but just continue on doing it. And then when you finish, you really feel great. So this time with him was really, really important for me. And then from 2017, I think that we didn't train anymore. I don't know why, we parted ways. But yeah, that period was really, really important. And that's actually the time when I got my first injury. I got some triceps tendonitis, which isn't a wonder. So yeah, it was a great time.
Fuck. Yeah, these work. I remember that shit. Yeah, we did that back in the days too. Classic endurance stuff. I mean, the good point about it was, you already said, this resilience that you get from there is such a different one. From what I personally would say, I would say every lifter should have had times like that. I think it changed the way you approach training a lot.
I think that people are taking training too much for granted and their situation, because, you know, you have people who have perfect circumstances and they're still complaining. I used to ride my bike 10 kilometers to the park, drive it with 10 kg of weights in my backpack, and it doesn't matter what weather it is. You know, it was snowing, it was raining, I was going to the park to do my training, you know, every second day after school, it doesn't matter. And right now, when I have these perfect circumstances, it's not hard for me to do a training, you know, to do my workouts. It's enjoyable. It's great to be in a warm gym with all the equipment you need. You know, just have to do it right now. Just do it. That's it. Don't have to think about it.
I think also these bad circumstances, the weather can be whatever, it can be cold, it can be wet, the rain is pouring down, it can be anything. It could also be completely hot. Same thing. That's also not the best. I started at parks like that too, and you're dying sometimes. And I think the very important part here is, I think this builds you up mentally so much. And I think those who are listening to this podcast for quite a while, you guys know how much I'm into this mental thing when it comes to training. I think you profit from what you gain during training so much in life that this is a very, 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 very important part of what is training, the mental part. And that you tell that story is such an important one, because everybody who did that back in the days, or maybe is still doing, there are people who are doing that right now. So they can relate to that, because the very important part here is, no matter what, I'm going to train. That's it.
Yeah, nothing's gonna stop me. That's it.
And I think that's a very important one also when people get injured. This mentality of, I will go and I will train, also is what leads you through times when you are injured, because then you find a way to train. It may not be everything that you would love to do. I mean, I don't know, you break your back and can't do any lower body stuff, then you of course train upper body. You fucked up your shoulder, yeah, well then you gotta do some lower body training, but you gonna train. That's, I think that's a very important one to get that into the head of the people. There's always a possibility to train. And I think that that was something that really killed a lot of people when this lockdown situation came with this COVID stuff. All the people always had this, oh, I need a complete gym to train. And I remember back then when we said, yeah, okay, we will have rings and we will have some stuff and some stuff we will have to buy, but we're going to train no matter what. We're going to train. And there's no other solution than training. I mean, I see a lot of people who are doing, I don't know, anything now. Maybe some yoga and Pilates, but not really hard training. But actually, you can go out there, get yourself some rings from Amazon by, I don't know, $30. Hang them on a tree and train. I still don't get why people don't do that. For me, that's in my DNA. I mean, I always make that clear for myself. So, Nick, you can't go out. In the beginning, in the first lockdown, we weren't even allowed to use normal parks. It was forbidden in Indiana. You were not allowed to do that. Yeah, so, okay. I put my couch out of my living room and put in a rack so I could do my pull-ups, my dips, and my squats there. Fuck that. I was even able to do muscle-ups. I couldn't lock out. I couldn't do the dip, but I could do the transition. It was, I think, just 1 centimeter of space between my head and the ceiling, but I made it. I think you're doing the same right now with the bar that you're having in your room, don't you?
Bend my legs quite a lot, but the lockout at the top is possible. I just have to watch out not to hit my head. It's like the same, like 1 centimeter, but it used to happen a lot that I hit my head. So yeah, not perfect, but hey, we're doing it, you know.
What would you say, looking into this time, did that change a lot about your thinking about training?
You mean when the lockdown came in? Not really, you know. I mean, I just had to find ways to train like I usually did. That's basically it. And we did the stuff, and I don't feel like I missed out on anything. I think that I came back into the gym stronger than before. So, you know, that's a win.
Yeah.
So we did everything right.
Yeah. I remember that when it was just no other solution than getting a squat rack for you. You had already your pull-up bar?
I had a pull-up bar. I had a weight vest and some dumbbells. So I had to improvise with the lower body training. For the upper body training, it wasn't so hard because I had pull-up bar and the rings here. I know that I used to do some back squats with my dad on my back because the weight vest and the dumbbell just weren't hard enough. So I asked him, just come here for a top set, you know, let me do a set with you on my back, and that's it. Also doable, you know.
Because there was no other solution. We have to train.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
So when you look into your training now, I mean, in the beginning, you probably did it to look a little bit better and building some muscle and stuff like that. What, there's things you do when you're 15.
Sure.
What's your why now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now, I want to become strong as hell on basic lifts. You know, that's right now my main thing. Really drilling the basic movements, not only on the bar and the P bars, but also with the barbell, and just, you know, getting to the highest level I can get. And I'm really interested to see where that lies, where is that potential, you know. So I realized that just introducing barbell training and pushing it a lot made my body grow so much. And I really enjoy that. You know, it's a nice add-on to all that strength work and strength gains. So I really want to see where's the potential, you know, where does it lie? So just basic lifts, drill it over and over again and get strong as fuck. That's it.
It's interesting because everybody is always, when you ask them for a why, people are always like, oh, there has to be a crazy story, a crazy background story.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You have to have something in your childhood and stuff like that. It's not always like that.
I kept it on a basic level right now. Like, where are my goals and what's the basic direction where I want to go in? Of course, there is a deeper story, like with everything, you know, the same is with training. If you want me to tell that, I can tell that too.
If you like to share that with the listeners, you can.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think we already talked about this in the past, but I was a pretty fat kid growing up. And that's also one of the reasons I think that influenced me to start training, because I probably had some body composition issues and complexes. So I think that's the main drive behind training. But then over years, it kind of split up. And especially during my high school times, I think that training really saved me in a sense of staying healthy mentally, because I used this as an escape from all the obligations I had, you know. And it really helped me like develop as a person, because I had to think about, right, I have to have a certain structure. I have to structure my training in a certain way so that I come to this goal, and I have to apply effort in order to get there. And this directly transitioned over to my school things and obligations. So I was also becoming a better student with training. You know, you can really see my grades grow up in every year of my high school. And right now, as I said, I'm just trying to get as strong as I can, but also using it as an escape from everything else, you know, from the outside world.
Yeah. Would you just say how much does the training now influence what you're doing now? Of course, you already said it. In training back in the days really influenced your approach to school. Uh-huh. How is it having an influence now? Is it still like that? Did it evolve? What changed else?
I think it's still like that. You know, it's making me a better student, because always when training is good and your training is there, I seem to study and I'm a lot more productive. So I think that it didn't change. It's the same basically.
Yeah. Would you say it made you a better human, a better person?
That's a really tough question. I mean, it depends on what you mean, like better in a sense to other people, or better just by yourself, individual.
I would say both.
All right. I don't know. Better in a sense of other people. It could be because, you know, as a coach, you need to have a certain amount of empathy, and you need to be, you know, complete as a person in order to work with other people, and you have to understand their problems. So that's one important aspect of that. But by myself, I think that it really, like you already mentioned, this mental resilience and really working when you have to get the work in, no matter the circumstances. I think that's really important, and that transferred over to my studying and all the other stuff that I do in my everyday life. And also like, because you have to have structure in your training, I also try to bring structure in my day. So that's also an important aspect.
Yeah, I think that's a very important one.
Yeah.
Having actually a schedule over the day, I'm going to do this at that time and this at this time.
Yeah, especially now in these times.
Definitely. Right. What was your favorite experience you made as a coach?
It's really hard to take out one experience out of everything that happened, because I mean they're all great. But I think, like, you know, I won't name names here, but I work with this one person. I still work with him, and we're doing his mobility training, and he's really dedicated to it, and he's making gains. But my favorite moment was when he said to me, you know, hey, I can finally sit at the beach with my legs crossed over, and I don't have any issues doing that for a longer period of time, you know. When he had this transfer from his normal training into his everyday life, and it made his everyday life more enjoyable, you know, that's it. That's everything you need, and that's what it's all about. So that was really great for me to see this transfer, you know, because people always talk about, like, progress in the gym. I made these great numbers and everything, but rarely does someone talk about the transfer it has over to everyday life, you know, and to make one's person life quality better by simply doing his mobility routine and mobility training. You know, I think that's awesome. It's a great influence.
I think that's a very beautiful story, because I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this guy.
Yeah.
I know how thankful he is for that.
That's okay.
He's so happy about this. And I think everybody who ever had an experience like that, I mean, it doesn't have to be the mobility experience. It can also be, I was able to, I don't know, help my mom with the shopping. I don't know, stuff sure. like that. I mean, if you have been as weak as fuck, so, and now it's not like that anymore. I think these things, we underestimate how much training can influence these things into for the better.
Mm. Mm.
And also how much sometimes these things really, not only on this physical side, but also on the mental side, how much this often helps people so much to maybe get through hard times, or being, as you already said, being more resilient when stress comes in and you are there and thinking, well, that's a tough time, but actually squatting 204 reps is a little bit harder. I remember a guy, I heard his podcast, I know him personally. He's one of the best bodybuilders in Germany right now. I think he haven't competed for 3 or 4 years, but he's unbelievable. And he's actually a guy working in a bank. And he's always doing his workouts in the morning before he goes to work. And he has a pretty high position. So when he comes into the meetings in the morning, he already had his training in. We are talking about a guy who's, I think he's deadlifting 260 for reps. So, and he comes in there having a cup of coffee, and people are having any problems in the meetings and stuff like that. And he's sitting there, well, you guys think that that's our problems, but I already had my 260 for free right now, and now I'm going to zip my coffee. Imagine that. That's a complete different level when you have that state of mind in there. I think these things may change a lot in life when you realize this is only about you. I'm not talking about comparing yourself to someone else, because there will always be someone stronger out there. But when you realize how much you can be at peace with yourself when you train, and how much that influence can be, and how much, I don't know, self-confidence can I give to you, because you are safe with yourself. You are so serious about yourself. This can be such a big influence, next to being able to sit on the beach with crossed legs. Yeah, Germans would say Schneidersitz, you know, that's the thing. And you are able to do that after, I don't know, more than 10 years you haven't done it, because you weren't able, because, you know, I don't know, you sat on a chair for so long. And I love that story, actually. I love that. That's such a, I remember when you told me that, Also, when this guy touched the floor for the first time.
Yeah.
I also remember how much fun these some of the guys who made the PRs when you worked with them after they had this big this one guy who had this you are listening to this podcast, I know you. But when he had this big injury on the abs,
yeah,
being able to do stuff again, I think that made him happy. That made him happy.
Oh, yeah.
That's some good work, some very good work here. All right. I love that story. Okay. What would you say? What are your plans for the future as a coach? Where would you like to go?
Well, yeah, right now the first goal is to finish my degree and then most probably do my master's too, because I would like to round up my education.
Yeah.
Then I would also like to do a good coaching certificate course. Most probably the one in Vienna by Intelligent Strength.
Yeah.
Because I really find that one to be the best one in the German speaking realm, but also I think like you can apply that to a bigger area. Probably do that. And also, you know, the classic thing was probably work in the gym with people, because I think that personal training is also important. And continue developing in the online coaching realm. And yeah, that's basically it. You know, just education is right now my first priority.
I like that. So for the listeners, if you liked what he told about his life, about his story, about his plans, you can easily apply to work with Rado if you're listening to this. And just check out on the link in the bio in Strength and Skills podcast for the hybrid athlete strategy, or you check out bar-bell coaching.de/links and apply for that, because Rado is also doing some of our hybrid athletes. And if your goal is to smash some weights, get some body weight training in there, and also having some serious mobility, Rado is the guy. He's the guy. He's making people mobile. That's well. And actually, for my personal view, I would recommend this guy, because he's one of the last people I would say I would lay my personal training, my training, into his hands, because I trust him so much.
Thank you.
There are less people in the world that I do that. Are there any closing words from you that you maybe another story you want to share or something?
Oof. I think something that I wanted to mention and I forgot to tell that when we were talking about like doing something when you were injured, I forgot to mention when I got injured in this tricep tendonitis thing. That's actually the way I got into Olympic weightlifting training and doing mobility training, because I had no other option. My triceps, they were hurting so much that I couldn't run. I couldn't do pull-ups without pain. So I think that's quite funny. I don't know why it was so serious, but I'm happy that I was able to heal that. So that's, I think that's a quite interesting story to close it with.
Well, yep. Sometimes, you know, most of the times you start doing things because the pain is so hard. And this,
yeah,
it's not only something that applies to physical things, it's the same thing. Sometimes you only get into the very needed conversation with the person because it hurts so much. And sometimes you apply for help because it hurts so much. Yes. How often do I have people who talk to us, you know, I'm not coming, I'm not getting where I want to go with my training, and this hurts me so much. I need to go get stronger. This is always when the pain is big enough, then you do it.
Yeah, that's a good way to round things up. That's it.
All right. So for everyone who liked this episode, please feel free to share this one with your family, your friends, with everybody who needs to hear this one. We hope you liked it. And if you want to get to know more from Rado, please let us know in a message to Strength and Skills Podcast on Instagram. If you have any more questions, let us know, shoot us some questions, and we hope you have an amazing weekend. This is a Saturday morning, and we're going to get some more coffee and hope. I hope you do too.